Welcome, everyone, to the Woken English Podcast. I am your host, Gabriel Aguero. Joining me today is Guy Trengove from the UK. Guy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you? How are you, Facker, as well?
I'm doing well. Facundo Salazar joining me from Miami, Florida. Facu, how's everything, buddy?
How are you, Guy? How are you guys doing? Everything is perfect over here.
How's the weather in Miami?
It's all right. I mean, can't compare it to you guys, but it's been in the 60s or 20s, how you said, in England lately. So I'm enjoying the weather. Nice. No pool weather, but still good weather.
Still no pool weather in April, huh?
I know.
That's weird. Guy, has the weather over in the UK?
Don't ask. It's just blustering, mate. It's April showers and just you go outside and you get blown over.
No here in New York, very, very weird. We're having earthquakes. Everybody's okay. I was on Twitter yesterday after the earthquake, and the official Empire State Building Twitter account tweeted, "I am okay," or "I am fine." And I was dying hysterically. But yeah, we're having earthquakes here in the Northeast in New Jersey, New York. So it is what it is. Anyways, for today's podcast, here's what's on the menu per se. We're going to cover the match against San Lorenzo, the Copa Sudamericana draw, and then the first match against Nacional Potosí in Bolivia. It's also worth mentioning that on Saturday, March 23rd, Boca did play in the Copa Argentina. It was a round of 64, if I'm not mistaken. Against Central Norte, Boca won 3-0. We haven't recorded since that game, so it's worth mentioning. It was an overwhelmingly dominant performance from Boca. Two goals from Cavani, one goal from Merentiel, our Uruguayan forwards, lit up the night on that Saturday night. So Boca is through to the next round of the Copa Argentina. Let's get right into the match against San Lorenzo, which me personally, it's a pretty heated match because my mother's a San Lorenzo fan. My younger brother's a San Lorenzo fan. So we look forward to that match for bragging rights. I have not stopped bragging since we won 2-1. Let me go ahead and read the lineup. In goal, we had Leandro Bray, Advíncula, Lema, Rojo, Blanco, Blondel, Medina, Eki Fernandez, Kevin Zenon. Up top, Langoni and Cavani. That seems like our ideal lineup. Maybe a modification or two in defense with the center backs. There's a lot of debate there. But it seems like our best possible lineup that we can put forward. I'll take it to Facu first. Tell me your thoughts. Boca 1-2-1. What are your thoughts on the match, on our performance, on the goals, on the penalty?
So every time we play against San Lorenzo, we know it's going to be a tough game, you know. I remember growing up, me going to stadium, and I think it took me like about 5 years to lose the first game in La Bombonera, and it was actually against San Lorenzo. Every time I played against San Lorenzo, it's a tough one. Coming to this game, I knew that Boca was in a better, feeling, because San Lorenzo is not doing that great. Boca is getting better every game. And I actually got together with my dad to watch the game, and I was talking to him. I mean, we were all over them. I think that the possession was like 60-40 to us. We got like a million more shots on them. And of course, I came out and said, oh, wow, San Lorenzo is playing like terrible. And a minute after, they get a fucking PK. Sorry for my language. So it was, I mean, even though they score, I talked to my dad. It's like, it looks like Boca's going to score in any second. And that's exactly what happened. Then Cavani had a fantastic goal. I think one of the best goals collectively that we scored lately. Everybody touched the ball. Everybody got together. They played small spaces and through the middle. I think one of the things that we complained probably like about 1 month or 2 months ago is that if Advíncula or Blanco don't go up, Boca doesn't score. Like we were going through those channels, and the other day Boca decided to actually go through the middle, which is something we've been asking lately. I mean, with Campuzano playing in the beginning of the season, he usually goes, he's very good defensively and passing the ball to the sides, but he never has those, through balls through the middle that we can, connect. And right. We did in the first goal, and I think that was fantastic. Then the second half, I think the Boca kind of like slowed down a little bit, not because we were playing bad, just because San Lorenzo was wasting a ton of time. I was actually surprised how much
they started time wasting 20 minutes into the first half.
It was
laughable because that's what their coach was complaining about in the pre-match conference.
Yeah,
that Boca time wastes.
I don't remember that. I think that one of their assistant coaches got ejected. He walked through the whole field wasting, I counted, 3 minutes and a half. And I was like, how is this even allowed? Like, why is Boca not doing anything? Talking about that, one of the things I want to complain about Boca players is like, we don't complain after the refs. I mean, San Lorenzo got a PK, yes. It was a PK, but it's not a big of a deal PK. But every time something happened to us in their box, we don't complain. Nothing.
I guess I'm vivo. I guess I'm vivo.
We don't talk enough to the ref or like, let's go to the bar, let's do this, let's do that. But overall, it was a great win, a must win, if I had to say. And the other thing I had to say, you know, I want to send some love to Blondell because, you know, he tore his ACL. Me, going through 4 months since I tore my ACL, I know how tough it is. And I hope he can come back very, very fast because he was having a fantastic season. And it's sad to see somebody like that, you know, torn his ACL and, you know, be out for 7 or 8 months.
Yeah, that tough blow for Boca. I'm going to read a few statistics and then I'll take it right to Guy for his thoughts on the match. So possession, we had 62% versus San Lorenzo's 38%. XG, we had 2.34 to San Lorenzo's 1.01. That's mostly from their penalty. Other than that, they didn't really have many good looks. Total shots, 14-6, favor of Boca. Big chances, 7-1, favor of Boca. Big chances missed, 5-0 in favor of Boca. Shots on target 9-2 in favor of Boca as well. Guy, what are your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, what Faku said there about playing through the middle, excellent. Both goals were really well developed team goals. I don't think that can be argued against. We've tended to use Blanco a lot just to sort of knock it past the defender and cross it in, and that's been successful for Cavani, but these two goals were some of the best goals I've seen all season, I think. Another injury. Cavani came off at half-time, if I'm not mistaken. It was good to see Merendiel play at least. I mean, obviously not in great circumstances, right?
And he got a goal. And he got a goal to reward. You know, he hasn't scored, I think, since February, I think it was. He was a goal drought, right. He also hasn't had the same amount of minutes. But yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's unfortunate, but it's good to see that when one player gets injured, another person can come in. I don't think we've had that for a long time. We've not had that. Yeah, these bench players that literally just don't offer anything. And I think we'll talk about that when we come to talk about Potosí, but really solid performance. We like coming back from behind, don't we? Did that against Racing.
It's our specialty.
which is
good because it's something we haven't been able to do in a while, in a really long time. Yeah. You know, we've done it on constant basis.
Yeah, we just sort of didn't really dig in before and show any grit. But if I'm not mistaken, I think we are the team that's recovered the most points after going behind in the league. I'm not sure if that's completely true, but I think it is. I'm like 90% sure. So that's
right.
At least it's good. We've got some grit. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to touch on the penalties, San Lorenzo's penalty. It's a cheap one from my point of view. It's undoubtedly a penalty. It's, you know, if I grab any one of my friends from their shoulder, you know, it's going to make them stop if they're walking down the road, right? I don't think it's going to make you fall, though. The San Lorenzo player definitely did sell it well to the referee. It was a penalty. Lema needs to be smarter than that. Absolutely needs to be smarter than that. But what Faku was talking about a few minutes ago, on the opposite side of the field during a corner kick, Lema was completely almost tackled, like if it was an NFL tackle. His shirt was pulled, and the referee didn't call anything. At those instances, you know, you have to use the same criteria. That's more of a penalty than the penalty that was called for San Lorenzo, and we didn't get one there. Whatever, what are you going
to
do?
To add, Gabby, last night, Independiente won a very key game for them. And they scored a penalty that was exactly the same play as Lema's play. A little softer, if I must say. And they got a PK because they complained about it. Because they went to the ref and like, listen, you got to call this one. I feel like Boca players, knowing that the refs are not always on our side, they need to be a little smarter.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, that was a penalty on Lema that wasn't called. Lema got a lot of heat for that penalty, and rightfully so, because you have to be smarter than that. He gave away the ball. He ran back and then pulled the forward by his shoulder. Got to be smarter than that, dude. After the penalty, though, I think he picked up his performance. I think he closed out the game pretty well. I think he was solid. He played a very good game apart from the penalty. Let's just put it that way. Rojo came out in the 70th minute. I thought he was okay. I think that's where our biggest question marks lie. We have Advíncula as right back, Blanco as left back. I don't think there's really any debate there with those two positions. I think a majority of our questions are the quote-unquote headache that Diego Martinez might have is with the center backs. Does he play Anselmino? Does he play Valentini, Lema, Rojo? You know, he has players of quality. Some older players, some younger players. I think tonight Lema's playing, and is it Rojo against Newell's? Do you guys know? I think I tweeted out the lineup yesterday, but I don't exactly recall who's going to play. Rojo Lema is playing tonight, so expect a few yellow cards there, maybe even a red in Rosario. It's always a heated match. Apart from that, Blondel was having himself a good game. I feel terrible for him. Terrible, because, you know, he was having a pretty good campaign, good season with us. He was combining well with Advíncula. Medina, Icky, and Senon, I think, are undisputed starters in that midfield. Langoni and Cavani up top, I think Cavani has his position secured. Langoni played very well, I think. Personally, it just reminds me of having, you know, if I look back to the older Bocas, it reminds me of having Palermo and Palacio up top. You know, I'm not really a big fan of Cavani and Merentiel up top. I guess you can make it work for certain games against certain oppositions, but I think you need a sort of a quick player like Langoni, who's an absolute menace sometimes up there. Some defenders really have a tough time controlling him. He's really fast, really quick on his feet. So I enjoy watching him play. But I think, you know, overall, solid performance. League table currently in the middle of match day 13. We have Godoy Cruz in Group B. Godoy Cruz is in first. Lanús in second. Newell's in third. Defensa y Justicia in fourth. Boca in fifth with 19 points. Today's a key game against Newell's. Newell's are 2 points ahead of us. 21 points versus 19 points. Again, they do have a game in hand. Boca still has to make up the match against Estudiantes, which is supposedly going to be played sometime this month. Do you guys have anything else to add to the league standings?
No, I think it's key that we win today. It's going to be tough, not going to lie to you, because I don't know what's going to happen if Paul Fernandez is going to start or not. I mean, that day when Paul came in, he came in very well, not going to lie to you, against San Lorenzo. But I feel like it's going to be interesting to see what our coach does, because, you know, our midfield with Medina, Eki Fernandez, Senon, and Blondel was doing very well. So I'm wondering what he's going to do there. I don't know if Medina's going to go a little bit to the right and Paul's going to be a little more into the middle. But I hope that Paul comes in with the fire that we need, you know, the fire that we've been asking. But we have to win today. Because, like it or not, I mean, we still have to play Estudiantes, but it's only a 60-minute game, which is going to be 2 halves of 30. So I don't know if I can rely on that. You know, I can rely on a 1-1 or a 0-0 with Estudiantes, get 1 point, and then win against Newell's and Godoy Cruz and qualify for the next round.
Yeah. Supposedly, the expected 11 is Bray, Advíncula, Lema, Rojo, Blanco, Paul Fernandez off to the right, Eki, Medina, Senon off to the left, Langoni and Merentiel up top. So it's pretty much the same 11 that played against San Lorenzo. Paul Fernandez for Blondel and Merentiel for Cavani. I'm just taking another look at it's the same lineup. You know, that Estudiantes game, and we were talking about it before we started recording, really should have been played the very next day after it was postponed. Match 2 days. Boca has a very tough schedule. The next 50-something days, we're playing every 3 to 4 days. So we have a lot of games, and then we have to fit in that match against Estudiantes somewhere in the week. Guy, is there anything else you'd like to add in terms of the league table? Anything else before we move on to the Copa Sudamericana?
We're not going to reach Godoy Cruz, right? So, and they are the best team in our group. It's not.
And we do play them. We do play them.
We are.
They are in the playoffs, and it's likely that they do field a second string lineup against us Sunday. I don't think it's confirmed for Sunday, April 14th, but that's the way FOTMOP has it here. So next weekend, we do play Godoy Cruz. Maybe they don't play their starters since they do have a guaranteed spot into the playoffs. It's something to just keep in mind. But yeah, I don't think we're going to. Can we reach them? Let me see.
Maybe. I mean, if we win 9 points, I think we lose some games.
26. Yeah, it's going to be tough. We have to beat Newell's today. We have to beat them. And then we have to beat Estudiantes in this remaining 60 minutes. So.
Yeah, from them, they're very good. So.
Yeah, and you also have to hope that they don't win. It's going to be tough. So we won't get first place, but, you know, we can close the gap a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, as long as we shuffle a couple of those teams down and we get in the top four, that's what we're after, right?
Right. Just taking a look. All right, let's move on to the Copa Sudamericana. We were drawn into Group D with Fortaleza of Brazil, Nacional Potosí of Bolivia, who we already played. We'll touch on that game in just a few minutes. And Sportivo Trinidense from Paraguay. There was a lot of arguments on social media about our group. Me personally, I think, you know, Boca has to handle business. I mean, of course, we have Nacional Potosí, a game in Bolivia in the altitude, which was already played. Again, we'll touch on in just a few minutes, which could be a little bit complicated. Before we would have played, it could have been seen that way. Fortaleza has one tremendous stadium in Brazil with tremendous fan base. You know that stadium is going to be absolutely jam-packed against Boca. And Sportivo Trinidense is a fairly unheard of Paraguayan side who did actually knock out the Giants Olimpia from contention into the Copa Sudamericana. So props to them. Martin Palermo's Olimpia too. So props to them. But, you know, these are names that Boca just needs to take care of, and we should see our way through into the next round of Copa Sudamericana. We should definitely win the group. Fortaleza did win against Sportivo Trinidense 2-0, if I'm not mistaken. What are your thoughts? Guy, I'll go to you first. What are your thoughts on the group, Benny?
The scandal that has been or was the build up to the first game, right, against Potosí. I think we should talk about it. My God, yes.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, mention it. Yeah. Welcome to South American football, ladies and gentlemen.
So, considering there are other teams that have been told to play in bigger stadiums because their grounds aren't big enough, or et cetera, especially in the Libertadores, I can think of Liverpool from Uruguay, and there's another team that escapes me now that from Chile that have been told to play in a bigger stadium than all their home ground.
It happens in Paraguay,
too. We had to go. We had to send the squad up the mountains, basically, in these like 4x4s, right? Because a bus could have got up there, but it would have taken something like 3 hours extra.
So and we it's sent dangerous the squad because up. Of the roads too, the conditions of the roads.
Yeah, of course. It's just absolutely unheard. I mean, not unheard of, but it's mental, isn't it? And I think we could have flown there, but they wouldn't like.
I think the airport is not operating, something like that. So we flew to Bolivia using their main international airport, right? And then from there, we hypothetically would have taken another flight over closer to where the stadium is. But that airport, I don't remember the name, if I'm not mistaken, is not operating correctly. So the only way to get there, like you were saying, is by vehicle. But you can't take the bus because it's dangerous. There's small roads, tight roads. So they were just taking a bunch of 4x4s, splitting the squads into what, 10, 15 different cars? And it was a 3-hour trip that the players had to do before the game. So it's absolutely laughable. It's laughable. They should have been required, you know, to play in their national stadium, whatever the Bolivian national stadium is, to avoid all of that. But, you know, teams use it in their advantage, especially against Boca. They want to try and pick up a win. So let me read up the lineup against Nacional Potosí, where Diego Martinez opted for an overwhelmingly second-string lineup, prioritizing the league to qualify into next year's Libertadores, something that Almirón 6 months ago refused to do. He completely prioritized the Libertadores, left the league over to the side, and that cost us big this year. So our lineup consisted of Leandro Bray, Di Lolo, Anselmino, Valentini, and Saracchi. Di Lolo is a fantastic right back from the preserves, from the academy. In midfield, we have Saralegui, who started the Superclásico. A lot of you guys know him. Benitez, another academy graduate, very promising. And Juan Ramirez. Up top, we had Briasco, Benedetto, and Hanson. So a pretty solid lineup, but, you know, with a bunch of names that just haven't played together. It's a last-minute lineup. I'll take it to Facu first. Facu, what are your thoughts on the game? I mean, it ended 0-0. There's not much to say apart from, you know, Benedetto's penalty, which he skyrocketed into the air. I don't know why he kicked it that way, but tell me your thoughts.
My thoughts now, with the game over, is that we could have won the game. I mean, I feel like Potosí is not a great team at all. I feel like Fortaleza is going to go there and win. Tridente can go there and win a point. Our biggest fight is with Fortaleza. So if Fortaleza goes there and win, we had to beat them, you know, in Brazil and in Argentina to finish first in the group. So I have mixed feelings because, again, 0-0 in Bolivia, 4,000 meters in altitude is a good result when you see that Di Lolo, Molas, Delgado, and Sufiarre are the first game playing with Boca. So hats off for them. You know, they came out and show us, hey, you know, Boca has a future. Most of them are 20, 19, 18 years old. And they came out and they play like they've been playing for like 30, you know, games with us. I really like that. I really like how they came out and performed the way that they're supposed to perform with our jersey. But my feelings are mixed feelings because we could have won without Benedetto, PK, starting the Sudamericana with 3 points. It would have been key, dude. So it kind of hurts me the way it unfolded. The only thing I had to do, because it's what I do, I kind of want to criticize a little bit, again, the older players. I feel like Ramirez, Briasco, Hanson, and say Benedetto. I mean, Benedetto didn't have a bad game, but they could have done a little bit better. I feel like the youngsters did much better physically and mentally.
Absolutely.
They did. You know, like Hanso had three shots on goal that he could score. Benedetto had a great game, I think, overall. He missed a PK, but again, you miss a PK when you take the PK, you know? Everybody misses PKs. But I want to talk about the older people. Why are they not performing the way that these young kids are performing every time they play, you know? Valentini is having a great season. Saracchi played very good, actually. It sucks. We could have won. But if you would have asked me 2 days before the game, with the players that we're presenting, with the 4x4 trucks that they were taking to the game, with all the traveling that they were doing, that if you would have signed a 0-0, I'd probably say yes. The only thing that sucks is, like, I know that Fortaleza is going to go there and win.
Yeah.
So that's going to be tough for us.
That's what I think is the biggest takeaway, because I think 10 minutes into the game, and I read a lot of this on Twitter, everybody said, we got to win this game. Nacional Potosí, with all respect to Bolivian football and all respect to them, they looked like an amateur side with the way they were playing. And we were fielding not even a second-string lineup, a third-string lineup, with a lot of substitutions, a lot of players, and a lot of academy graduates making their first-team debut. We took a lot of players from our reserve side, who ended up suffering a 4-1 defeat against River in the Superclásico for the reserves, to take them up to Bolivia because Diego Martinez really is prioritizing the league. He does not want to let that escape. He does not want to let Libertadores hope, you know, our chances of playing Libertadores next year, you know, fade away. So there's consequences to that. And, you know, we paid the price in the reserve. We lost 4-1 to River when our reserve team is fantastic, but we just took a bunch of their players. So I think if you look at the way the game was unfolding, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes in, you're like, no, we got to win this game. This game is extremely winnable. And that's the biggest takeaway what Facundo said. Fortaleza might go into Bolivia with their first string lineup, and they're definitely going to win. So that forces us to beat Fortaleza at home and in Brazil, not even considering that we take care of business in, against Nacional Potosí and La Bombonera and against Sportivo Trinidense, you know. I forget what group it was, but one of the Copa Libertadores groups from a couple years ago where I think Boca played in Bolivia. We ended up drawing 1-1, 0-0, and then we came back to La Bombonera weeks later and we beat them like 6-1, 7-0, something like that. That could very well happen against Nacional Potosí. A 0-0 in Bolivia, and then La Bombonera, we field our strongest 11, and we absolutely, we beat them by 4, 5, 6 goals. They played very, very poor. They had a couple chances late on. They did. Our tempo definitely decreased in the second half. But it was a game where you were like, oh my God, we got to win this. And then you have the penalty. You have a golden opportunity to go up 1-0. Who knows how that would have affected them. And Benedetto didn't take care of business. He's been on a bad run of penalties in the past couple of years. So, Guy, I'll take it to you. Tell me what your thoughts are.
So I'm just in the middle of a yawn. That's what I felt like watching the second half of the game, really.
Yeah, the second half was bad. The second half was really boring.
Like you said, that you saw on Twitter, loads of people were saying that we should win this game 2-3-0. I was one of those people. I said, if we don't score three, or at least, I said something like, si no goleamos, I don't know, I can't remember. But it was there for the taking, right? Like you said, they looked really amateur. The second half, it felt like Martinez was really trying to finish the game in the first half and then sort of
We ran out of gas. The second.
Yeah, exactly. We did. We ran out of gas. And to be honest with you, the game started at 1 a.m. here. I took my laptop over from my desk, second half, middle of the second half, took my laptop over from my desk into my bed. And I'm not sure I saw the end of the game because it was just so dim.
Yeah, it was
sort of in 20 minutes.
It was definitely a very boring second half. Let's name some of the players who Diego Martinez put in. Mujao, that we all know, has been very subpar since joining Boca. Iker Soufiere came in for Lucas Hansson. Soufiere is a winger from the reserve. Campuzano, we all know him. He replaced Saralegui in the 80th minute. Milton Delgado making his debut as well. In midfield, Walter Molas making his debut as well. So three players, if I'm not mistaken, Soufiere, Delgado, and Molas making their debut for the first team over in Bolivia. So those are kind of the conditions that we were under. Again, it was very... I would have signed the 0-0. I would have said, you know what, if we tie 0-0, bring a point back home, considering all the conditions prior to the game, just like Faku said, I would have been like, let's do it. But 5-10 minutes in, you got this feeling that Nacional Potosí is a very poor side, and we have to absolutely win, and we just weren't able to. Anything else you guys would like to add before we close this one out?
No, I'm going to win today.
Oh, fuck.
What was that, Guy?
I was going to say about this specific game that we were just talking about. I don't know if Taorda played in the reserve game or whatever, but why did he not play? I mean, Bujali came on, and I just feel like he's going to go at the halfway point of the year, right? We're not going to sign him on a permanent. Perfect game for Taorda, I think.
Yeah, Taorda honestly should have started. Did he go to Brazil? I think he did. Let me see. Was he on the bench? He was. He was on the bench. He never came on.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't get that because Bujali has really just sort of been a nothing signing, right? I mean, he looked like he was going to be a decent player, but he's just ended up not really offering anything.
He played well. Bujali played well against... he only had one game where I was like, wow, this is what we need from him. I don't remember who. Maybe it was a 0-0 against Defensa Justicia or the 2-0 win against Central Córdoba. Maybe even against the Belgrano, was it? I'm just trying to take a quick look. No, he didn't play against Belgrano. One of those games that he started, he only played one good game since joining Boca. Can't remember which one it was.
Tells you everything.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Bujalde. He played in the 2-1 against Cruz. I don't know if it was that game. Yeah, Bujalde has been very lackluster. What team did we sign him from? From a Dutch side? Was it AZ Alkmaar? Alkmaar? I don't know if I'm pronouncing their name correctly.
Yeah, was it them or was it... it was either them or Feyenoord, so...
I think it was Feyenoord. Yeah, I think it was Feyenoord. He played very well against or with Willer Cruz here in the move over to Europe. Kind of stalled a little bit, and then we, you know, saw the opportunity to sign him. But yeah, he has been very, very lackluster. But I'm with you. I definitely think Dauda deserves more minutes. He should have came on in Bolivia. Anyways, guys, we play Newell's tonight in what should be or what I consider to be a must-win in our hopes for getting into the playoffs. Boca currently sit in fifth with 19 points. Newell's in third with 21 points. If we win, we leapfrog them, pending on Defensa Justicia's result. They're sitting in fourth with 20 points. Again, we're a game. We have a game in hand against Estudiantes, who's in seventh with 18 points. So everything's pretty jam-packed up top. We just have to keep doing our thing. Diego Martinez is playing a pretty solid lineup tonight. I read just before, so hopefully we get the job done in Rosario. Anything else you guys want to add before I close this one out?
No, not at all, Gabby. Like you said, it's a must win today. I feel like if we win today, things are going to change mentally for all of us.
Yeah.
So let's hope they understand that. I hope they all, you know, on their way mentally to the stadium and be like, hey, we got to perform today. Like, this is no excuse. Like, if you want to be a Boca, have a new contract, stay with us, you have to come out in these games and win. There's no excuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guy, go ahead.
Prediction? Show us score prediction, lads.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you think?
I think it's going to be one of those, like, smash and grabs, isn't it? Because it is, although... New Worlds haven't been particularly great this year. I think it's going to be atmosphere, tough. 1-0, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 1-0, Boca 2.
Well, I cannot go. I wanted to say 1-0, but I cannot do the same as you guys. So I'll take the 2-1 with Menentiela and Langoni. I want Langoni to score.
Yeah, I was going to say 1-0, Langoni scores in the second half.
I hope so. It's going to be 1-0 us, 1-1, and then 7 minutes left in the game, we'll score it 2-1.
Excellent. I love it. Faku, thank you so much for joining me. Guy, thank you so much for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.